This is the Smash and Grab Show, and this is your host, Jeff Kaufman. Thank you for tuning in. Before we get started, I have to do a short disclaimer. I am not a professional investment broker. What I say and the things I recommend on my show are solely for entertainment purposes only. I suggest that you conduct your own due diligence and do your own research into any investment before you get started. I appreciate you tuning in. Let's do our show. Welcome to the Smash and Grab Show. This is your host, Jeff Kaufman, and I've got a lot to talk about today. This should be a pretty long podcast, especially for this show. A lot going on. I had a lot happening the last 3-4 weeks. Signed a contract with a cryptocurrency I can't talk about because I actually signed a contract and an NDA. It finally finished out. I'm done with my contract. It ended about 2 weeks ago, and I really haven't done much, really. I've just been sort of enjoying the time off and taking a little break, you know, just chilling out, spending a little time with family, doing my thing. It's kind of funny because this particular cryptocurrency was in Asia, and I was just doing content and editing for them. It had nothing to do with podcasting, but I couldn't talk about it. I can talk about it, but I can't talk about it. I can tell you what I was doing, but I can't tell you who I was doing it for. And I just have to leave it at that. It's part of my agreement, but my contract finally ended, and it kept me pretty busy for like the last 3.5 weeks. And, you know, my mornings were their evenings and vice versa, so it was kind of hard to keep up with everything. It wasn't incredibly difficult, but it was one of those things where, you know, I'm ready to go to bed and they're ready to start working, you know. Since I'm on the East Coast of the United States, it didn't exactly coincide with my average everyday activities. Let's just put it that way. I started finding myself drinking coffee at 10 p.m. And, you know, that's life. Anyways, this show is going to be about mostly about wallets and storage. And I've been wanting to talk about this for the last couple weeks. You know, there's a lot of wallets out there. There are a lot of wallets that do good, and there's a lot of wallets for different cryptocurrencies. You know, for instance, and I'm going to talk about a bunch of stuff today, but, you know, I want to touch on some things, too, that I think are pretty relevant with a few cryptocurrencies out there. And a lot of people are downing different currencies, and there's a lot of bickering and battling and fighting and scrutiny and mayhem between different cryptocurrencies, and it's just insane. And I was reading a tweet by Justin Sun, the creator basically of Tron, and he just put something up. It was nothing arbitrary. It was just a comment, really, and immediately hit with a bunch of, you know, what we can call FUD. And it just didn't stop. There was all this negativity, and it was just continuous. You know, I'm holding some Tron. I'm not going to lie. I'm holding, you know, I'm holding some BitTorrent. I'm holding some Wink. I just bought some Beats. And I've got some Tron. You know, and my wallet of choice for all of that is TronSkin. I think it's a pretty good wallet. I mean, you can hold Tron on other wallets too, but I just happen to like it. It's got everything that, you know, when you're looking for a particular currency that's running on the Tron platform, you can find it really fast. It's really simple. And but I was just amazed by the amount of FUD that comes out directed towards him and his business. And I'm not, you know, I don't really get into all the in-depth particulars. When people are downing another cryptocurrency, you know, I can understand it. And I found myself looking at some cryptocurrencies and feel like, you know, going off on these people too. There's a couple of them I've invested in that I would literally just love to just find out where they live. Yeah, hey, you sold me some shitcoin. You know, knock on her door. But I really don't see Tron as a shitcoin. And I'm saying this because it truly isn't. It, you know, if it was just Tron, just itself, just that currency by itself, you know, I might just start kind of falling into that feeling that maybe it's just a crap currency. It's not going to do anything. But if you really look at everything that's going on with Tron, it's not, it doesn't seem to me, I mean, I know when I'm dealing with a shitcoin. Excuse my language. I know what I'm dealing with, a currency that's not going to go anywhere, that nobody's going to do anything with. You know, you wouldn't build this ecosystem that he has built if you plan on screwing everybody. I don't think anybody's that heinous that they're going to go, you know, we're going to do this and do this and do this and keep moving forward and keep building on the project that you plan on just dumping. And I, you know, if he is, he's a freaking genius for doing all this stuff that he's doing. But let's just be honest, you don't create a currency like Tron with the ecosystem that's involved with it just to turn it into, excuse my French, a shitcoin. So I have to say, all these people that are hating on Tron right now, I don't understand it. I can see where people have invested a lot of money into it and they're expecting a big turnaround and they want more money to come back to them. And, you know, that's one of the biggest problems in cryptocurrency. And I say this all the time, and I can't help but repeating it. LTI, long-term investments. You know, if you had invested in Bitcoin back in the day with the mindset that you have today, you would have dumped it in 3 months. I'm being honest. You know, let's just say you bought in when it was, what, I'm going to go by memory, like 28 cents or something. I was, remember the first time I think I saw Bitcoin, was it like at 28 cents? Or it was in the 20s. You know, if you had the mindset that you have today and you invested in Bitcoin back then, with the mindset that you have today, you would have gave up on it after 3 months. You would have been like, oh, this shit, Bitcoin's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to do anything. This is a bullshit. Blah, 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 blah. Excuse my language. But to be honest with you, that's the mindset that we have today. We expect this huge turnaround in just a few months' time. For a lot of people, anyways. There are plenty of us out there that realize that a coin's not going to become another Bitcoin overnight. It's not going to happen like that. It just doesn't. We could be looking at 10 years down the road when you're going to see a really good return on your investment. People don't grasp that. There's this make money fast and furious mindset that people have when they buy into a coin. Well, they, you know, within 3, 4, 6 months, they're going, well, where's my return on my investment? I'm not making my money. I'm not making my money. And, you know, that's the biggest problem in cryptocurrency, is that people buy into these coins, you know, on thousandths of a penny. And within 3 months, they're hoping it's going to be at a dollar. And it just doesn't happen that way. And I'm not coming into defense of Tron. Don't get me wrong. I'm not buddies with Justin Sun. And I'm not a huge Tron holder. But just looking at the business aspect and the investment aspect of both of these things combined into Tron, you really need to give it more time. I can't say what it's going to do in 5 years, but if you're not willing to hold on to a cryptocurrency for at least 5 years, what are you doing investing in cryptocurrency? I'm being honest, and I hope a noob out there, or even someone who considers themselves not a noob, who might listen to this, to say to themselves, you know, maybe I'm doing this wrong. You know, maybe I shouldn't be hoping that every coin I buy into is going to turn into another huge success right overnight. And, you know, it's going to happen tomorrow or a month from now or a couple weeks from now. And that's really, truly the mindset for a lot of new crypto investors, is they'll go out and they'll buy 2 or 3 million of, you know, 2 or 3 million coins of a particular currency. And then within 3 months, they're like, whoa, man, you know, where's my money? Why do I, you know, I should have a Lamborghini in the front yard now. You know, hey, it just doesn't work that way. And, you know, I'm just going to say it again. I'm going to reiterate. If you were to, you know, invest in Bitcoin when it first happened with the mindset that a lot of people have today, you would have dumped it in 3 months. I mean, you really would have. We need to start looking at the long-term way of investing instead of expecting this short-term turnaround rate that people are just hoping for. And it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Well, back to the subject at hand. Wallets. there are so many wallets out there, it's really hard to keep track of. My main wallet of choice is Trust. I go with Trust for almost every coin that I could that it can hold. It has a lot to do with the security features of it. Everything from having a passcode to be able to read your fingerprint, all that junk. But it's just one of the better wallets out there. I go with Trust basically for everything. And I go with Coinami for things that I can't get into Trust, to be honest with you. It's like Digibyte. I hold some Digibyte, but I can't hold it on Trust for some reason. I'm sure I could, you know, do the, you know, I could put it in there probably, you know, if I want to do it manually, whatever. I don't have any use for that. I really don't care to do that very often. Not that I can't, I just don't. So, you know, for coin like that, Energy is another coin that I hold in Coinami. I'm not putting it on Trust. I can't. And I could do a custom token or whatever if I wanted to, but that's you know, that's not what I'm talking about. As far as hot wallets, mobile wallets, and PC wallets, I go with Trust basically for a lot of things. But there are some wallets that I hold money on, or should I say cryptocurrencies on, that I use just because. They hold the, ADA for an example. One of the wallets I use for ADA, it just holds ADA. It doesn't hold anything else. It only holds Cardano, and that's what I'm going for that particular currency. But Trust is, to me, probably one of the more safer hot wallets that you can use. It's one of the more safer mobile wallets. It's definitely got some really good features to it, and I like using it, and it has a little bit. I wish they could do more with it. Let me just be honest. I wish that Trust could do more with it. I wish it had a little bit more. I wish it was a little more feature rich. And I'm saying a lot today. What's up with that? Trust seems to me like it has plenty of room for growth. I think it could do a lot more than it's already doing, and I think they probably have a lot of things in the works coming out in the future. Trust to me has everything I need. As far as hot wallets go, that's my wallet of choice. And like I said, Coinami's second. And then I have a bunch of other ones. I've got the Engine wallet. I happen to like that wallet. It's not too fancy. It's not too, you know, it's good. It works. I like Engine. I hold some Engine on Engine. Math. I use the Math wallet for a couple currencies. And I like Math. It's just suitable for what I use it for. And I happen to like Math because it's got a little bit of security feature. It's got some pretty good security features to it. I only hold EOS Trust on it. EOS Force. I don't use EOS Trust on that. I got that on my Trust wallet. I got EOS Trust on my Trust, and I got EOS Force on my Math. I'm going to recommend just a few wallets. A few hot wallets that I think that people, you know, probably if you're already working with cryptocurrency, you probably don't even need to listen to this episode. I wouldn't even blame you if you turned me off right now. But to be honest, I'm trying to gear myself towards people who are just starting out in the cryptocurrency world. And, you know, the Trust wallet, I think, is Umuro number one. Coinami is a close second. And then all the other ones that I use, they're specialty wallets. Tron Scan, I use just for Tron currencies. You can have a regular wallet if you wanted to. Engine, it's got all the features you need. I also use Coinbase's wallet. There are a few wallets that I use, and I suggest people look into. I think they're pretty safe, you know, but nothing's ever really safe in the cryptocurrency world. I'm just going to make that abundantly clear. Nothing that you hold hot is ever really truly safe. I don't care how much they boast about their security features. I don't care how much they tell you over and over that they're the safest wallet out there. If you're hot and you're online, it's not safe. it's never going to be safe, and you should never think of it as safe. I don't hold currency very much and very often on exchanges. And of course, exchange wallets are, you know, they're pretty useful. I mean, it's great to have these. I mean, I've got some coin on Kunami. I mean, KuCoin. I've got some coin on KuCoin. I've got some coin on this other exchange I have, and this exchange and that exchange. I'm not going to go into names. You don't need to know where I exchange my stuff, do you? But exchanges are, you know, they're, you know, it's pretty useful to have a wallet on an exchange. And yeah, you can keep some currency. I know people who have hundreds of thousands of dollars stored on exchanges, the wallets they give you. And I just could not ever feel safe doing that. I don't care how secure they claim to be. Keeping your money, especially large amounts of cryptocurrency, on an exchange wallet is pretty dumb. I know some people that would probably argue with me on that, and I would have to disagree. Exchange wallets are great when you're doing exchanges. When you're done at the end of the day, send that crap home. Get it off of there. I know people keep it on there, and they'll have it set for limit buys and limit sales and all that other stuff. And, you know, that's the risk you're going to take. That's a risk that a lot of people don't mind taking. And, you know, they're making money doing it the way they do it. And I understand that. And I do it, too. I just, you know, I'm not at the point where I've got, you know, $3 million on an exchange. And I'll never do that. And I know people who do. I know people who have literally $1 million right now sitting on an exchange. Why? I mean, it happens a lot. It doesn't happen too frequently, but it can happen. An exchange can get hacked. You could lose all your Bitcoin, all your XRP. You could lose your cryptocurrency that you're exchanging. It could happen. You could wake up tomorrow and go look on your favorite exchange and be like, whoa, what happened to my exchange? I mean, what happened to my currency? Where did it all go? It happens. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. You know, when you're using a hot wallet, whether it's a mobile wallet like Trust has, or you keep currency on an exchange wallet, it's all really high risk. Let's just face it. The safest possible way, and I mean this, the safest possible way to hold your currency is in a cold storage wallet, especially with an air gap. I know a lot of people, you gotta plug it in and all this stuff. No. And we're going to talk about a couple cold storage wallets that I think are really phenomenal, and I think they're really great. And you really can't go wrong with cold storage, because there's really no way for it to get hacked. I mean, you transfer it from your phone or your tablet or your laptop or your computer into this wallet. You either unplug it or disconnect it, whatever you got to do. Some of them are, I think one of them is Bluetooth. You've got an air gap between your cold storage and your PC or your laptop or your phone. That, to me, is the smartest way to hold your currency. There's no smarter way than to do it that way. It's safe. It's secure. You can take it with you. You can go anywhere you need to go. You can put it in your safe. You know, you can hide it in your couch cushions. The point is that no hacker can hack into it, because there's no way to hack into it because it's not plugged into the internet. And that's the difference between hot storage and cold storage. When you have your currency saved, you know, as much as I like Trust, it's still vulnerable. But when you have it in cold storage, in one of the few devices I'm going to mention, it's absolutely, positively, almost impossible. I would say totally 100% impossible for someone to hack your cold storage. And it's smart, and it's a lot more efficient. And if you're someone that, you know, deals in large amounts of cryptocurrency, that's probably the most smartest way to hold your currency. I highly recommend you look into the products I'm going to discuss, because they're worth your time. And, you know, there are other, you know, there's a couple wallets that I'm using right now that are hot wallets. And I don't keep a tremendous amount in them either. I like Magnum, but I don't use it very often. I've got, you know what, I'm holding in Magnum right now. I'm not even going to kid with you. I'm holding a Bitcoin Diamond in the Magnum wallet. It was one of the only wallets I could find that held it. And I bought a little bit of Bitcoin Diamond. Don't laugh at me. I know it's down around 40 cents right now. You know, hey, you know, who knows? That's what I'm talking about earlier about long-term investment. I bought into it. I know it's been around for a little while now. But who's going to say 10 years from now what it's going to be worth? And if I'm holding 2,000 of them or 500 of them, you know, I want them to be safe. And that's why I'm starting to look into cold storage, because I would love to take a lot of these currencies that I have and transfer them into a cold storage. Now, here's the only problem, the only real problem I have with cold storage. Some people might agree with me and some people might not. But here's the problem with cold storage. And it's the only problem I see with cold storage. Losing your device that you're holding your currency on. Don't laugh. I've heard stories. I'm sure maybe you have too. Someone had, I think it was $200,000 worth of Bitcoin, and they left it on a freaking bus. And I'm like, why are you riding a bus with Bitcoin? You have Bitcoin. I mean, what? Why would you be riding a bus? But I'm being honest. I mean, he lost it. Well, here's the thing. Whoever found it can't get into it anyways. And, you know, but it's still $200,000. So somebody somewhere is out there running around or had it in their hand and is like, what is this thing? And they probably don't even know. This person that found it probably doesn't even know what cryptocurrency is. And probably like they think it's probably some kid's toy or something. You know, there's $200,000 on their bus driver. Maybe you should find the guy that left it on the bus. I would. I'd put a poster up and say, hey, found this on my bus. You know, talk to me. Sure, you can have it back, but I need about one Bitcoin. Just kidding. But really, cold storage is probably the way to go. But the only problem I think that there is with cold, and this could happen. You know what? The cool thing about hot storage is, let's say I lose my phone tomorrow, or it breaks, or it gets shattered, or I drop it in the toilet. I can always download the Trust app and put in my passwords and all that happy junk, and reopen it, and all my stuff's gonna be there. But with cold storage, you drop it in the toilet. You know, I don't know what to say. It's probably the only bad part about cold storage is losing that device. And I'm just going to, you have to treat it like it's gold. I mean, you really, I've told people this before. I had this conversation with someone yesterday. And he's like, dude, what would you do if you lose it? The point is, you don't lose it. Treat it like it's a block of gold. Like, you have the last freaking gold nugget on the face of the planet, and it's worth $1 trillion. Treat it that way. You know, don't put it on your key ring. You know what I mean? Don't walk around going, hey, you know, flop it in the air, you know, leave it on top of a soda machine, or take it to the bathroom, to the public bathroom or something. I'm just saying, don't do something stupid with it. Leave it at home unless you're going to use it. I have a safe. That's where I put my cold storage, in my safe. When I'm not using it, it goes in the safe, lock the door, it's done. Someone has to break in my house, break into my safe to get my, and they wouldn't be able to get into it anyways. That's kind of the point. And I think it's really, really important that, you know, people start realizing that hot storage is not the way to go. Yeah, it's a lot more convenient. It's a lot faster. It gives you a quicker way of getting to things. And there's really nothing that's really that slow about cold storage either. But it's the security of having that gap between your device and your storage. There's no way someone's going to be able to hack into it. And I was reading on Twitter the other day about a guy who was talking about his wallet got hacked into. And people were asking him if he had all these, you know, fail safes. And he's like, yeah, but they still got into it. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of scary. I don't hold a lot of money. Trust me. I don't on my hot wallets. But I think some of the best cold storage wallets out there are probably the best thing you can do right now if you're a serious crypto investor. Get in with these wallets. I'm going to list them here in just a second. But before I do, though, let's play a little music, because that's what this show is supposed to be about. It's called Smash and Grab. We talk about crypto, and we talk about a little bit of music. Now, one of my favorite bands of all time is Aerosmith. I love Aerosmith. Been a fan of Aerosmith ever since I was young enough and old enough to realize what Aerosmith was. You know, I just love it. Can't help it. I want to play some Aerosmith, and then we'll be right back with the Smash and Grab show. You've got to love a little Aerosmith. I love Aerosmith. I've been a fan of Aerosmith for like as long as I can remember, before I started growing hair where I didn't know hair was supposed to grow. Anyways, back to the subject at hand. Cold storage wallets, there are a few out there. Some of them are pretty complicated. Some of them are pretty cheesy. There are some that are definitely worth every dime you can put into them. And I highly recommend the following two. There's three I recommend, but I'm going to start with Umro number one. The best cold storage wallet, I think, in the market right now. Elipal Titan is probably the best. And that's Ellipal. Their Titan is just really phenomenal. It's got a full metal jacket, so to say. I mean, it's really strong construction. You cannot break into this thing without damaging the components inside, which has been proven to happen to some other cold wallets where people are actually able to hack into the wallet by breaking into it. This would be really extremely almost impossible to do with the Ellipal. And I say that because it's just very well made. It's fully air gapped. There is no Wi-Fi, there is no Bluetooth, there is no USB plug. Nobody can hack into it using any of those items. And it uses only the QR code. It relies only on the QR code to transfer funds to it. And it's really cool. I mean, it's just a really cool product. I think it's definitely worth taking a look at. It's got a 1-year warranty, which is really good. 3-factor authentication. You can even set longer PIN codes for it. Instead of just like, you know, four digits, you can, I believe, up to 12, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It's IP65 rated, meaning it's totally dust proof. It's water jet proof, which makes it really secure, really safe. It's not something that you have to worry about getting damaged when you're out and about doing your thing. And like I said, it can't be opened. If you try to crack this sucker open, you're going to damage the circuitry on the inside and make it totally useless to someone who's trying to, you know, break into your cryptocurrency. So I'm really going with Ellipal. I think it's probably the best product out there. And if you want to check it out, it's at ellipal.com. I believe there's a little bit of a waiting list for it. They haven't reached a full production yet, but it's definitely worth getting your hands on. And the reason why I say that is because it's probably the most positively secure cold wallet storage there is. And they don't pay me for this. I'm talking to them after doing a little bit of research. The QR code thing, you know, that's kind of quirky to me because not every wallet you have displays a QR code. But for the most part, most of the wallets I have used do display a QR code, but you know, that's not really that important, but it's just something to think about because yeah, having a USB cord would kind of help out, having Wi-Fi or Bluetooth would kind of help out with the transfers. But if you're really, you know, interested in just cold storage and you want to put, you know, I think of these items kind of like a bank, and you know, let's just say hypothetically you got $10,000 worth of Bitcoin and you're only planning on trading with maybe $2,000. You can take the remaining, put it in this cold storage wallet, throw it in your safe, throw it in your desk drawer, whatever, and it's safe. It's out of harm's way. It's unhackable. Nobody can get their hands on it. And it's basically, you know, it's secure to the point where, you know, nobody can get into this thing and steal your cryptocurrency. The other one I want to talk about, and I think there's been two of them, the Ledger Nano series, Ledger Nano X and Ledger Nano S. These have the Bluetooth. I also believe they have the USB. And it's effective. It's got a 24-word recovery phrase you can use. So if you were to lose your Nano, you can get it back. You have to use an app to be able to do the transfers and everything. And it also has, you know, like I said, Bluetooth. I think this is really a smart device too. But again, you have to plug in You have to plug in. With the Alapal, you just have to take a picture. It has a camera built into it. That is phenomenal. It's its own app in a way. You know, it's just totally 100% effective. And the Ledger Nano X is extremely safe too. I mean, once you unplug it, once you put this sucker away, nobody's going to be able to, you know, break into it either. The Bluetooth aspect, I mean, you turn this thing off, it's off. I mean, I just, the thing is that in case you were to lose this or drop it somewhere, you know, a really smart hacker, you know, someone who graduated from Boston Tech or something might be able to get into it, but it's pretty safe. So I rank that right up there with Elipal. I think Elipal is probably the safest, most secure. I think Ledger Nano X is probably right there with it. It's just, it's a little more convenient, a little more easier to use. But, you know, I think really, you know, Elipal put a lot of thinking into theirs. And I think they wanted to produce probably the most secure cold storage wallet available. And I think they managed to do that. I've been reading a lot of reviews. I even participated in one of their giveaways. I didn't get one. Bummer. But Elipal has a lot of the features that I would think would make the most secure wallet. And that's why I'm picking it as number one. Trezor, I don't know. I like it. It's a well-made device. Trezor's, it's good. It's the Model F series. I mean, I like it. It's just, it seems like something I would lose. if you've ever lost a USB stick, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know how many I've owned over the years, USB sticks, just for storage, you know, data storage and stuff like that. I've lost, I don't know how many. Luckily, you know, there was nothing on there I had to worry about, but it's the whole point that, you know, I was doing a project for a job I had. I had a whole bunch of Excel sheets and stuff stored on this thing, and I lost it for 4 days. And, you know, it was like, I looked like a jackass. Excuse my language. And people were like, you know, we needed that. Oh, I know. I don't know where it is. It was in the seat cushions of a leather couch at a friend's house. Fell out of my pocket. Had no idea. He called me up 2 days later. He's like, dude, are you missing something? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I had a buddy. He was a brewmaster. He used to make the greatest beers and you know, all kinds of stuff. He made all kinds of ports and wines and beers. And he was just really cool. And I ended up going to his house one night. And it just slipped out of my pocket into the cushions of his leather couch and gone for 3 days. I called him up and said, dude, have you seen it? He's like, no. And I guess he decided to look for it. That's the only problem I really have with Trezor is that it seems like something to me that I might lose. It's too small for me. I'm just being honest. It's one of those smaller devices that I'd be more afraid to like drop somewhere or forget where I put it. Elipal is a heavy device. It's like almost the size of a smartphone. It's not teeny. It's something you know is in your pocket. It's not something that's just going to slide out and you won't notice it missing when you get up. You know, a lot of us do that when we have our cell phone. We get up to leave somewhere to go somewhere and we pat our pockets, right? I mean, I do it all the time. I'll get up, I'll pat my back pocket for my wallet, and I'll pat my one of my front pockets for my phone. If you're carrying around the Elipal and you go to go somewhere and it's in your pocket, you know it's there. So those are the three top cold storage wallets that I think are out there that are worth taking a look at. Trezor, you know, like I said, it's a good cold storage product, but at the same time, and I hate to say it because I'm not downing Trezor, but it's just one of those smaller items that I think I would lose. That's just me. You might not be that way. I'm that way. I would, you know, it would be in my car for 2 weeks before I found it again. You know what I mean? I'm being honest, you know, it's just something I would be afraid to lose because it's so small. But, you know, if you're like me and you're putting stuff in your safe at home or you've got a special place where you keep things that are of value, I can understand it wouldn't be a problem to keep track of. But if you're going somewhere and doing something with it, you know, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's too small. The Ledger Nano series, I think it's a phenomenal product. I think it's you know, very convenient product. It's give you plenty of ways to transfer funds and everything, but it still has to be plugged in to use it, and that kind of makes me nervous. And plus, there's an app separately from it, so you're not only cold storaging it, but you also have an app on your phone or on your PC. And if I remember correctly, you can't use the Bluetooth for Nano X with a PC. You can only use it for your phone or, you know, your handheld device. So there's that. And I'm really, if it was up to me right now, I would get AliPal. I would have that in an instant. Like I said, there are some wallets out there that you could use that don't offer the QR code, but there are plenty out there that do. So, I mean, it kind of narrows it down. I think it's probably the most safest cold storage wallet that's available. There's no Wi-Fi, there's no Bluetooth, there's none of that. So, AliPal's number one. I'm putting Ledger Nano Series at number two and Trezor at number three. Those are my three top picks for cold storage wallets. My three top picks for hot storage, of course, was Trust, of course. I mean, you can't go wrong with Trust. I'm sorry, a lot of people kind of are finicky about it. I've been using Trust for a while. I've never had a problem with it. I think it's probably the safest wallet for hot storage out there. It's got plenty of security features. It's totally comprehensible. If you lose your phone that you have it on or someone steals your PC, you can still get back your currency. You can still, as long as you have your mnemonic phrases, you're good. Second in line, and some people are going to probably argue because they've had some difficulty in the past. I don't really like Coinami very much myself. I've had some glitches with it. I've lost some coin with it. But Coinami is number two for me. It's pretty comprehensive. It's got a lot of nice features now. It's building on itself a little bit. So I'm putting it at number two. I've actually lost some coin with it to a glitch. They've tried to tell me that I accidentally deleted a wallet. I'm not going to get into it with them. I think maybe I told them what was wrong with something and they fixed it. I might be wrong, but I think I brought up a bug they weren't even aware of. And I'm going to explain it to you real quick. In the process of sending something, if I turned my phone, you know, you're facing your phone long ways towards your face, and while it was sending, you know, broadcasting, I turned my phone to put it down on a table, and when I did that, it lost the coins I was sending. Now, luckily, it wasn't a whole bunch of money. I believe it was almost $200. So, yeah, that's a hell of a pinch. I won't use it that way anymore. There's hardly anything I keep on it. But it is a good wallet. It's trustworthy. They fixed that bug. I'm not going to lie. I think it was because I brought it to their attention. I think a lot of people probably are with me on it. I actually put up a review on Google Play because I'm sorry. You know, it's only good for a few coins for me. But it's a good wallet in the essence that it has a tremendous amount of coins that you can keep on it. There's plenty that you can add to it. The customized token is pretty easy to use. I actually had some coin sent to me from Anchor Stablecoin for doing a podcast for them, and I put it on Coinami, and not a problem. It didn't even affect it. It was in my wallet almost instantly. And then I'm gonna go for number three as far as hot storage goes. Number three for me, really, it's kind of funky, but I really like it, and that's Math. I like Math's cloud storage. I like their on the app storage. I think Math Wallet is coming around. I think it's definitely a wallet to keep and have. It's got very specific wallets for different items. So, you know, I'm going with Math as number three, but it's definitely a contender for number two versus Coinami. But again, I'm going with Trust for number one because I trust. I mean, what can I say? How else can you word it? Definitely going with Trust. All right, you know what? Before we get into the next conversation, it's with myself, by myself, sitting here in my little studio trying to talk to my phone and kind of feeling weird all of a sudden now that I brought it up because there's nobody else here but me. And I'm kind of, if somebody was listening in, they probably would think I was crazy. I have neighbors and they're kind of nosy. Before we get into the next tidbit of my show, how about I play some Metallica? I don't know if you're into rock and roll. I know that's probably not everybody's favorite music, but I'll try to play something from Metallica that you'll enjoy. And let me think. What would be a good song from Metallica right now? I'm trying to think. Metallica's not really a crypto-oriented musician a band or whatever. You know, I play a lot of Rage Against the Machine because they seem, you know, they're against the government. You know, crypto, government. Yeah, I always like Rage Against the Machine when I do my shows. But I'm going to play some Metallica. I'll be right back. All right, that was Metallica with I Disappear. You know, I've been a huge Metallica fan all my life. I mean, as far as I can remember, when I was a teenager, I've always loved Metallica. I remember back in the 90s when everybody wore denim jackets and had their big patches on the back of their jackets. And, you know, I was a heavy metal fruitcake back then. And I remember all the patches. You know, there was Atheist, Anthrax, Slayer, Testament, Megadeth. You know, if you name it, I probably remember people wearing it. And Metallica was my favorite. And it still is to this day. I don't really listen to any of those bands anymore. I haven't listened to Slayer since I was like 18 years old. But I've always listened to Metallica, always been a fan of Metallica. I've been to three of their concerts. Huge Metallica fan. But I read recently, and actually it was listening to something recently about James Hetfield going into rehab. They canceled their concert they were going to have in Australia due to this. And they refunded all the money back to their fans for tickets purchased. I have to say that Metallica's always been a straight-up, honest band with their fans. And to come out and let everybody know that, you know, James has gone into rehab is a big step for any band to do. A lot of them wouldn't tell you what was going on and just postpone the concert date to another time. And that's where Metallica kind of differs. They come out and tell you exactly what's going on, and they refunded the money. And, you know, that's awesome. My heart, though, goes out to James, because addiction is a terrible thing, and it's a hard battle to fight. And I reach out to him. I don't know if you'll hear this. I don't know if anybody will hear this. But, you know, when you have millions and millions upon millions of fans rooting for you, I hope it gives you the desire to beat this this addiction and come out on top. You know, James is definitely, you know, he's always been the front man of Metallica. You know, each and every one of them are great musicians. You know, I know, you know, we've seen two different bassists. We won't get into that. But, you know, I hope James has a full recovery. It's a hell of a thing to go through, and I think it's really cool that they are such a good band with their fans as far as that's concerned. To come out and just say that's pretty cool. So, you know, if you're out there and you're a Metallica fan, you know, say a little prayer for James, because I think he could probably use it. Anyways, I gave you all my recommendations as far as Cold Storage. I think Ellie Powell is probably the best Cold Storage. I think Trust is probably the best Hot Storage. I would highly recommend that you get yourself an Ellie Powell and just, dude, it's the most safest thing out there. I also wanted to give a shout out to an exchange that I fell into. I entered into a contest to win pretty much $8 worth of Bitcoin the other day. Didn't think I was going to win, had no idea. All of a sudden, I get all these notifications on my Twitter. And I won, I think it was about $8.60 worth of Bitcoin through an exchange called BTSE. Totally unfamiliar with them, never heard of them. After I won, I had to communicate with the person that was running their Twitter account, and I gave them my Bitcoin address and struck up a conversation with them, and decided to go on their website and on their exchange and just check them out, you know. Highly recommend BTSE for any professional trader out there trading in cryptocurrencies. Their trading platform is phenomenal. You can invest into futures. You can, I mean, it's fantastic. It's definitely engineered to help professional traders. I can attest to that easily. They also have a P2P trading, which is pretty phenomenal, or should I say exchange. I highly recommend it. Go check out BTSE. I believe it's btse.com. You can sign up, get started, enroll, and dude, check out their exchange. I mean, it's really crazy. If you are a professional trader, you'll know what I'm talking about. Get on there, look at it, go wow, like I did, and you'll want to do a little promo for free for them too, because I think that's really something worth mentioning. And another exchange I wanted to bring up, which I thought was kind of cool. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Beats, the Beats coin. I mean, they're all over the place. They're definitely pumping out the media and promoting themselves really well, the Beats project. Of course, they had an IEO open. I believe it was Sunday evening. And I went on to the exchange platform that they were doing their IEO on. It's called Probit. Highly recommend that as well. That I just added two new exchanges to my files. I mean, let's just put it this way. I use KuCoin. Of course, everybody uses Binance, but you know, what I'm trying to say is, I was impressed, extremely impressed with Probit, and I was extremely impressed with BTSE. If you are looking for a new trading platform, I definitely recommend going checking them out. That's BTSE.com and Probit. .com. Just do a little research. You know, I'm not making any money doing this. Nobody's paid me to talk about them. I'm just doing it because I happen to win a competition, and I happen to go out and buy some Beats. And coming up, hopefully in the next episode or so, we have an interview, hopefully going to be done with GoChain. I'm not going to say much more than that. I'm also talking to someone, and I'm not allowed to disclose this information yet. I had to sign an NDA the other day, so I'm not allowed to disclose this information yet. How can I say this? It's a very popular blockchain. A lot of people use it. I might have mentioned it earlier in this podcast. And hopefully we'll be doing an interview with someone way up there on the top of the food chain for this particular blockchain project. Let me just drop another hint. Extremely fast transactions and a really well-to-do ecosystem in crypto. Anyways, this was Jeff Kaufman. This is the Smash and Grab Show. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you'll tune in again. I probably won't appeal to all the old-time OGs out there in the crypto world. I'm more or less geared towards trying to help the noobs. Because I'm one too. I won't lie. I'm not going to try to say that I'm some kind of guru. I'm just an average everyday Joe. I've been involved with cryptocurrencies for a while. I do a lot of content creation, a lot of editing. I do a lot of work for some other crypto companies. But at the end of the day, this is my project. This is what I'm working on. And I want people to enjoy it. So before I leave, I am going to leave. But I'm going to leave you with a song. That'll be the end of this episode. How about I throw you out something from the good old days of rock and roll back in the 90s. And I'll leave you with that. And I'll just surprise you. I hope you enjoyed my show. And tune in again. Hopefully within a week, we're going to have a nice interview with GoChain. This was Jeff Kaufman. And thank you for tuning in to the Smash and Grab Show.